All right, guys. Welcome to the Squib Load Podcast. All right. Your range is hot. This one's a whiskey.
Safety's off. I'm Sean.
I'm Case.
This is our first whiskey podcast.
Yeah, this is a whiskey podcast. We've only been drinking beer. Now you're going to see the real us.
We're a little grooving. A little moving.
This might be the last pod.
The last podcast you ever hear.
We might say something we're not posting.
Let's check that our guns aren't loaded here.
That one's good.
Wait, let's hear the click.
Wait, let me send this one home.
Yep. Okay. We got a click. We were expecting clicks, not bangs. So
Let me. That's the reset. Oh.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're fine.
Okay. These guns are clear.
Case, you said something to me, and it offended me to my bones, my core.
What was it?
It's about DMRs, designated marksman rifles. And I've heard that we don't need them.
Yeah, we don't need them.
Why don't we need a designated marksman rifle? First of all, what is a designated marksman rifle?
It's a long AR.
It's a long gun that's meant to be precise and accurate past the distances that a fighting carbine would be. So, like, usually it's like a 20-inch barrel. It's firing a bigger cartridge, like a 308 instead of a 5.56. Kind of a bigger, beefier, full-size rifle, right?
There's this whole, like, trend of, do you need DMR? It's a AR platform with a bigger caliber. And here's every military branch that's using it. Here's how they initiated this in because it was better. Here's how. And it's just like, if you're going to get something like that, you need a rifle. But also, it will be cheaper and stuff. Like, you should build out your AR before you buy a DMR. But also, the DMR is the coolest.
There's definitely something to be said about, like,
style points.
Well, yeah, style points for sure. In a military setting, a DMR makes sense. That's just this purpose-built rifle that's meant to shoot super far.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily... It's not like a sniper rifle.
It's just so much better.
It's like a purpose-built, like, you can get some rounds out past the more traditional distances of, like, 150 yards, stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
But as a civilian, the question is, under what circumstances would you need that? Not want, but need.
Yeah.
When are you going to be shooting as a civilian past 200 yards in a situation like, I need to shoot that thing over there 200 yards away, you know?
Yeah.
And in my opinion, I don't think that that is like a frequent need. I don't think that there's ever been like self-defense shootings. Well, not to say ever. There are very infrequently shootings that require shootings at that distance. However, that is not a reason why you should not own one. To me, you should be able to own whatever you want as long as you're responsible.
Oh, yeah. But I'm saying, like, you shouldn't rush to get it. So my point is that I think it's an expensive version of something that you can get cheaper. And I always go for a cheaper side. Sean goes for swag.
Well, I do go for swag. Would you say that it's a niche purchase?
It's not a bad niche.
Yeah.
If you purchase it, it's still cool. Yeah. Like, purchasing a 300 black before a 5.56 is, like, a niche.
Yeah.
You don't need that.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially if you don't have a suppressor, you know?
Yeah.
DMR, if you buy it, it will cost you more, but it'll still be cool.
I think really what you can say about it that we agree on is that it's kind of a flex purchase, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're getting that before other stuff, like, you really shouldn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And you're like...
you need a foundation for it.
It's like your big plan. That's your next big gun. It's going to be the DMR. Yeah,
I'm going to get a DMR. I don't want to spoil what I'm going to get, but I am going to get a DMR. And I've been wanting to for so long. But the honest to God truth, the reason I haven't is because I want more ammo for the guns I already have. And I want to make my current guns better. So things like getting new barrels, new sights, just more ammo, more range time. Like, that's been more important to me.
I think why you like the DMR, though, is because this next purchase is also one of your favorite guns you've ever shot.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess
if you can guess what it is in the comments, please guess.
I think I actually have to talk about that because that is such a good story, and that's like a good...
You can't say what the gun is, though.
Well, I'll just say this. It's a full-size battle rifle that was chambered in .308, which is like a really big, beefy, full-size round, right?
Isn't it gone now, too?
What do you mean? Like,
most people phase it out, too.
Well, it's still used for sure, but it's in the process of being phased out. It's kind of like, you know how like the M4 is technically not used anymore?
Yeah.
But like everyone has M4s, right?
I would say this gun would be compared to the MP7. Like there was a time where everybody just like all these special units had the MP7.
Yeah.
And then like it didn't work out, so now it's getting phased away, but it's so cool when everybody wants it.
It's super cool, and it's one of the first full-size rifles I ever shot, but it's also, it's the first machine gun I ever fired, right?
Yeah.
I fired full autos when I was a teenager. Like, I want to say the first time I did it, I was 15.
Yeah.
And I fired this gun, a 308 full auto, which probably you should not start with that fully automatic, but I did, and it was a really good experience for me. And then from there, I moved down to, like, the actual, like, submachine guns. Like, I shot Uzis and full auto ARs.
By the way, like, if anybody doesn't like full auto and you can go shoot a full auto 9, you'll be, like, full auto sick.
Full auto's great.
And then 5.56 doesn't kick that bad.
People say
5.56 kicks bad, but I think it's one of the best feeling rounds to shoot.
I agree. I think it just depends on the gun. Like, there's definitely 5.56 guns that will just, like, spray gas in your face, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then there's 5.56 that, like... It's such a loud round, it can be unpleasant.
I will tell you that you've shot 5.7, have you?
Yes, I have.
5.7, like shooting it through a pistol is like shooting an AR, but in the pistol caliber.
It does feel similar.
It's so smooth. Like, you can just control it so easy.
It's smooth, and it doesn't feel... Like, it feels like you're shooting more of a toy than an actual gun, in a weird way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's different than 22 because it's still loud, you know?
Yeah. But, so. I mean... Like, it's 5.7, such a, like, expensive, dumb caliber, but it's okay.
It pokes holes in things.
Yeah, if your friend carries a 5.7, you need to have a talk with them.
Yes, you do.
It should be almost a meeting problem.
Yeah.
Like, there should be meetings for 5.7 activists.
I don't think I went on this rant before, but 5.7 was designed to penetrate Russian body armor. And, well, that's not even true. Not Russian body armor. Soviet body armor. Is what it was designed to penetrate. And it was designed as an auxiliary troops backup gun. So if you're like a truck driver or you're like a radio guy behind the lines in a military setting, and then Russian paratroopers come in behind the enemy lines, you got to have a gun that's going to be able to punch through their body armor. This is what people thought in like the 70s.
Yeah.
Like if World War III starts and the Russians parachute behind us. And then it became this weird niche civilian round.
This is around the same time that everybody was doing, let's take these pistols and make them burst, and this will be great.
Yeah, it was definitely at the same time as like SWAT guys wanting 2-shot burst pistols and fully automatic pistols, because I thought that was like tactically going to be advantageous. And we know now that that's not a good idea. I think back then it's like, I think let people try their ideas.
Yeah.
Because you always got to try new things. And even if it's a bad idea, like try it and maybe you'll learn something. I think like the Laugo Alien, that really cool pistol.
Dude, that thing's sick.
It's a really cool idea. But I know so many people or even like gun tubers that are like, this thing is stupid and it's too expensive. And
yeah, because like, all the gun tubers who also got to shoot it just got handed to them.
It got handed to them, yeah. But it's also like, it's the first of its kind. It's a new technology. The first of anything is not going to be good.
If I were to like... look up a gun that I want to buy and or purchase, and then I look it up, and it's, like, some gun tuber who's clearly sponsored, like, is selling it. That's not what you want. Yeah. Literally GBRS, by the way. Even though they're sponsored by SIG.
Yeah.
But watch every GBRS video. They'll tell you the SIG. Every SIG's the best gun to them. And then watch their videos. They unload these ammo cans that have SIG
logos. They're wearing SIG
and
hats.
All their ammo looks like SIG ammo.
It is SIG ammo.
Yeah, they're, like, shooting hollows. Literal hollow SIG rounds, like thousands of rounds of hollow.
Guys, we will never shill for a product unless we actually like it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if SIG offered us to say they were good, we would definitely talk about the 365, but we haven't really used any of their other stuff. We can't afford
it. I would be honest about it. Like, if they wanted to, this is a super fantasy, right? Like, this would never happen. But, like, if they gave us some deal, it's like, go shoot the SIG Spear and say it's awesome. I would shoot it and then be like, yeah, it's pretty good.
I'd say what I thought of it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I would too. The thing is that SIG stuff is actually pretty good. Yeah.
Did you see their sight, though? Their optic that was trolling everybody?
Which one was this?
It was kind of like an EOTech version of SIG, but it was kind of updated.
Like a holographic?
Yeah, but it was so expensive. It was like a $2,000 holographic, and everybody was is it worth it?
Spending more than $700.
The only person who's reviewed it so far is like Grant. He's the only one who can afford it.
Yeah. I mean, your optic, if it's just a non-magnified red dot sight, right?
Yeah.
It needs to be less than $700 because there's red dots that are really good for like $300.
But yeah, there's so many gun YouTubers who are trying to trick you with like what they say is good and what sponsor. And then there's so many good ones that like they're good guys who are giving you good information.
Yeah.
Like Hickok 45.
Yeah.
Hickok's just going to go in his backyard and he's going to shoot it. And everybody loves Hickok. Yeah. Paul's going to give you good fucking information.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's so many. Wherever you can just tell it's a sponsorship.
Yes. A lot of them.
Yeah. And, like, some of them also... I think lots of people think that, like, Glock is, like, chosen, but Glock stands up. But yeah, whenever they're a Glock YouTuber, people are like,
I don't know. I think Glocks are one of those things. I don't think they really, can you think of any GunTubers that have, like, a Glock sponsorship where you're just like, oh, they're just talking up Glock because they're getting paid? Like, I can't think of any. It's almost always, like, American companies.
Yeah, like, so Glock's kind of like... All these guys who are sponsored,
yeah.
What they always say is they carried the G17.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we got Garand says he carries the G17. Or we got
G19.
Oh, is it the 19?
The 19's a smaller
one. It's always going to be the Glock 17 or Glock 19.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of the same gun. So
we got T-Rex Arms. We got Admin. We got Garantham. We got TFB TV says he likes the Glock.
Yeah.
And all he does is talk about the Glock.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm just saying, that's like four guys who... Literally are sponsored by every company, and they're going to tell you the Glock is the best. Just carry.
And also, not like my opinion means much compared to those guys, but like,
yeah.
I love Glocks. Like, I did carry a Glock, and I was stupid about it, but the first gun I ever carried every day was a Glock, and then now I shoot competition with a Glock.
Yeah.
Different models with different stuff on them, but I just love the Glock handgun so much. It's the gun I learned on.
Sig copied them too.
Well, everybody copied them just because they did it so well, and they still are winning in the price.
Sig made the best. They were like, "Well, this is what everybody wants." The 365. We made five versions of it.
Yeah,
it's so good. And here's what everybody told us they want. And they made the what is it? The Flex. The Sig 365 Flex.
Yeah.
And it's just a 21 round mag concealable gun.
Yes.
It's a Glock.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's and also like Smith & Wesson copied. Glock as
they
well.
All copied.
They all did, yeah.
Gaston,
yeah. Well, what's really crazy about that is like all these companies like Sig and Smith and Wesson and all these places, PSA.
Yeah,
they make so many other guns.
Also, the difference between a Glock and a Dagger, by the way, all you PSA boys, is detrimental. Pay for the Glock. The PSA Dagger is horrid.
This might sound like an elitist thing, but if you're looking to get a new gun and you're like, well, this PSA brand handgun is $200 cheaper than the Glock, I'll just get that. Guys, guns are kind of unique in this way where it's really not ideal to have a lesser product. Like, you need a baseline standard for your product or else you're just cheating yourself.
If you look at all the PSA Dagger deals, by the way, it's like you get the Dagger and then you get like 19 extra magazines, which, by the way... You don't need those extra magazines for cheaper, like oh, I get all this stuff and a Glock. And it's like, it's not a Glock.
It's a crappier version of a Glock. And a Glock to me is like, people always say that it's like the Honda Civic of guns.
Yeah.
It is like a gun to get you from point A to point B. It's not fancy. It's never going to be fancy, but it works and you can learn on it. And it's, if you get to a point where the Glock is the thing that's limiting you as a shooter, you're a good shooter. You know what I mean?
If the Glock is a car, it's a Toyota Camry. And if the Dagger is a car, it's a Nissan Altima.
There you go. There you have it.
Toyota Camry, most sold car ever made. Best car ever.
Works.
There's some that have like a million miles.
Yeah.
And then there is the Nissan Altima, and it's going to pass you at about 80 miles an hour in a school zone.
Yeah, crash somewhere. Yeah,
and it's a PSA Dagger. I've never even really seen anybody shooting a Dagger at the range.
I've shot Taurus's M9 clone.
Yeah.
Which it's called like the PT-92 or it's something like that, right?
Yeah.
It's just like a Beretta 92 FS clone. And oh my God, dude, like... Beretta, if you get like a civilian one, like one that's meant to be sold to the civilian market, they're actually good guns.
Yeah.
They really are. I wouldn't prefer them to a Glock, but they're good. And then you get one of these cheap Taurus clones, and you're like, oh my God, like if I pay $200 extra, I get a tool that will never fail, right? Like those guns, it's super easy to clear malfunctions on them and they just work. But then those Taurus ones, like they feel like they're held together with duct tape and nails. Like they're so bad, you know? I don't like cheap clones of guns. You're better off save up another few $100s and get a tool that's going to last, you know? It's buy once, cry once with guns. You get what you pay for.
And it's going to last forever.
Yeah. Well, this is something I always talk about is like my Glocks that I have, they're going to work way after I'm dead, you know? I'm probably going to live to be like 80 something, and those Glocks will still be working great. They're just going to be broken in. That's the big difference.
By the way, we have some stuff planned out, but Sean's about to go fucking crazy about this one.
All right, let's hear it.
It's the Cerakote versus the Rattlecan.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And also, if you're a cool dude, let me tell you, you better paint that gun. I'm all for painting the gun. I don't give a shit. Everybody knows you don't sell a gun. If you own a gun, don't sell a gun. If you're new to guns and you sell your guns, you're an idiot. Just make more money. Get a better job. Start door dashing. Get that shit going. Never sell your gun. Keep them locked away.
I don't want to say people are stupid if they sell their guns. I will say this.
If you sell bad guns, I guess.
Sell your guns to me.
You have so many guns from people who were stupid and sold you guns.
Okay, some of them were stupid and sold me guns because they didn't know what they were giving away.
That's the best part.
There was one guy, I don't know if he listens to this podcast, actually just the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah.
Who was just like, these are good guns, but I don't have enough time or money to shoot. So he gave me his guns for like a really reasonable price. Like, it was close to market value, but a little bit cheaper.
What guns are these?
I got a Smith & Wesson, my M&P from him.
Oh.
Which the Smith & Wesson M&P 2.0, great handgun.
Yeah.
He gave it for me, I want to say it was like $100 less than market value, which that's reasonable, you know? And he had the gun, I don't know how long he had it, but it was years and years, and he's just like, I don't have money for ammo, and I don't have time to shoot anymore.
And what was the other gun?
The other gun was pieces of my current AR.
Guys, I don't know who this guy is who sold Sean guns, but I'm going to be reporting this later. I never heard this story in my life.
This was all legal. He sold me a complete AR-15, and I eventually salvaged some parts from it and made my current competition gun.
Yeah.
And then I made a second AR with the leftover stuff.
Okay. Maybe I do know. I don't know. Maybe.
You've never met this guy, but...
Makes you wonder. But, so, Cerakote versus Rattlecan.
Yeah.
So, people who aren't into guns will tell you what Cerakoting is. Cerakoting is when you send your gun away to get...
a coating on it that's made of ceramic, like think like floor tiling, kind of.
Yeah, but it's like a spray.
It's a spray that like ends up as like this solid, firm coating on your gun.
And it can make your gun look really good, but it can also cost a lot.
And there's problems with it, which I'll get into.
But... yeah, it can like mess up lots of stuff.
Yeah, there's problems with Cerakoting, but to just summarize what it is, you send your gun off to like a specialty place that will put this like spray coating on your gun. And you can get, like, really cool designs on there.
Camos.
Well, you can do camouflage for, like, a practical one. Or if you want to paint your gun to look cool, you can do that, too.
Yeah.
And they can be, they vary in price, like, pretty heavily depending on what you're sending to them. But it can be, like, $100, $200. So, kind of pricey, in my opinion, for a paint job.
The more expensive the gun you're sending, they're going to charge you more.
Yes.
Probably because they don't know what they're doing.
Well,
it'll be probably their first time.
It kind of depends. Like, there are guns with, like, a lot of holes in them. Like, it might have a shrouded barrel with a lot of holes, and they got to tape that up and be careful with it. So they might charge you more for that.
Yeah.
Things like that, you know? So that's what Cerakoting is. There's also people that argue that Cerakoting makes your gun more durable because it's not being exposed to the elements as much.
These people are retards.
Yes, we have a word for these. They're called morons.
They're called morons.
Yes. As opposed to, so Cerakote versus Rattlecan. What is Rattlecan?
Just thinking that Cerakote, by the way, would make your gun stronger is like, I put paint on my steel car, or my car that has a steel frame.
Yeah.
I Rattlecanned it. It's tile, whatever Cerakote is. And they're like, now my car is stronger than steel. Well, first off, almost all spray adhesives are never going to be stronger than steel.
No.
Your gun's not stronger.
Yeah. It's the same.
People always complain when they get their gun Cerakoted that it scratches off and then it doesn't look as sexy after they use it for a while, by the way.
Yes.
And it's like, well, you should have just Rattlecan it, buddy.
Yeah. So Rattlecan, what we mean by that is taking like literally like a can of spray paint and you know, you just shake it up and it makes that fun little clicky sound. And then you spray paint your gun with like some stuff you just bought at Home Depot.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different methods to make that look good. But the primary thing I see people doing is like camouflage patterns. Like for functional purposes, like military guys and stuff will spray paint their gun to do like, you know, woodland camo, or they'll do like desert camo, things like that. So basically what you do is you take a can of spray paint and then you get like a stencil of some kind, like You showed me a video of people like using grass as a stencil.
Actually, I think that is the best way. So, like, you're going to want a nice mild color, like tan or whatever your background's going to be. Like, so, olive nature, green. Yeah,
nature colors.
And then, so if you do olive green, then you're going to want to do tan as your stencils type. But all these people, like, pay a whole bunch of money and stuff to get other people to do it. If you go outside and you rip up your grass and you lay your rifle on the ground and then you throw your grass on your rifle randomly and then you spray paint your rifle, it will look like the woods. It's amazing. It's so good. And that's exactly what they teach you. And by the way, the military does use rattle cans. They do not Cerakote shit.
Well, it's cheaper that way.
Yeah. And so something that we didn't know because we watched a video on this before we were going to do this topic was halfway through the video, we were like, that does look pretty good. And then the guy was like, remember, at any time, if you fuck this up, you can do it again. You can rattle can your gun 1,000 times.
It's like paint. It's higher stakes to paint, like, a room in your house, because if you get paint on the carpet or, like, a wooden border or something, that's, like, a pain in the ass to rip
your if you bought, like, one, or if you bought all those cans to spray paint your gun, you could repaint your gun like 6 times.
Yeah.
With how much you get out of a can.
There's just not that much surface area on a firearm, even with like a really big rifle. Which, by the way, I think primarily people do this to rifles because it's the most functional, you know? Yeah. People do spray can, like rattle can their pistols. Yeah. I think it's way less common though.
And also, why? You can do your slide so you can have a two-tone. Tan and a black bottom.
Yeah.
Tan and black is cool, but I mean...
So there's like this debate online about Cerakoting versus rattle can, and I see the opinion that some people take is almost like, well, Cerakoting is the fancier but better version of doing this. Yeah. But in reality, it's really not. It's a Cerakote is like
a dumb, expensive.
Yeah, it's kind of a waste. Doesn't work. It's kind of a waste. Yeah.
Sean, who takes the high side, high versus low. I'm always low, and Sean's always high. Sean's picking the low side. That'll just tell you it's a scam.
It's just objectively, I would rather rattle can my guns than send them off to this place where you might have problems with the gun afterwards. And I wanted to talk about, this is my primary thing that I have against Cerakote.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually know, not just like, I saw someone online who had this problem, and then I know a guy in person who had this problem too.
He got Cerakote and it fucked up.
Yeah, so basically what happened with both these individuals, one of them I know personally, the other one I do not, they sent their gun off to get Cerakoted, and then they got it back, and their serial number on their gun was semi-illegible after the Cerakote.
Ooh, you can get in big trouble.
Yeah, so for those that don't know, if you cover up or tamper with or scratch off the serial number on your firearm, that is a minimum of 10 years in prison and $250,000 fine.
Yeah.
If you get caught, that's a federal crime. So anywhere in the U.S., if you get caught with that, that's prison time and a massive fine.
We can also talk about that other little topic. This wasn't going to be a topic, but this is a topic. If you're following the Diddy case, like everything he did that was like sexual and stuff, he's probably not going to get that much time for.
Well,
when they busted into his house,
yeah,
they found 3 ARs and they all had their serial numbers vandalized. Whoops. So he's going to go to jail no matter what just from that.
I do want to talk
for like 50 years.
I want to talk about that. I want to finish up about the Cerakote thing. So I know a guy who... He sent his gun off, and then the serial number was kind of hard to read. It was like the 3 numbers at the end were like filled up with the Cerakote stuff.
Yeah.
So you couldn't really tell what the numbers were. You could see that there was a serial number there, but you couldn't read it.
That'd be such a bad
Cerakoter. And he literally, like, he kind of freaked out. He was like, I got to take this off. Like, I'm going to get in trouble for this.
Yeah.
And by the way, when you go to a shooting range, they're not going to sit there and, like, inspect your gun to see if you scratched your serial number off.
But the feds will.
Well, I mean, anything can happen, you know? If you get pulled over and a cop sees that, you don't know if that cop's going to report that, you know? And if he does, you're in deep shit now.
I've been driving without tags for about 4 months already that we just learned this week.
Yeah, which, not a big deal.
I could get pulled over and I got my Cerakoted gun and now I'm going to jail.
Because there's 3.
For life.
Yeah. All because you sent it off to a professional company that's supposed to paint your
gun. Probably in the garage, by the way.
Yes.
You know how easy it is to do? That's also another topic we should talk about. All these people who are like, we'll mill your slide so you can have a red dot and all this stuff.
Yeah.
It's in a garage.
They're working out of their homes, yeah.
They're working out of their garage.
Which, to be fair, some people are really good at that, you know?
Yeah, but it's still never going to be a company.
No, not really. You know, it's like people who like own their own business working out of their house and stuff like that. But I mean, it's a good service. Like, I like that stuff. But so just to finish up on the rattle can versus Cerakote thing, Cerakoting, sometimes people will fuck it up. Like if you send it to somebody and they cover up your serial number, that's a really bad thing. And then also, they can accidentally, like if they're not familiar with the kind of gun you're using. The example I go to is the M1A rifle, which is kind of like an M14 military rifle.
Yeah.
Think like it's in between the M16 and the M1 Garand in the military timeline of things. But if you get a gun like that Cerakoted, like a civilian reproduction one, which I've seen people do.
Yeah.
There are ingresses and holes in that gun where if you get dirt or paint or just shit, if you get stuck in those, it makes the gun inoperable. Like, yeah. It just doesn't work. And so Cerakoting a gun like that where you can't easily remove it and there's like gummy, like glued together material inside your gun. Yeah. I mean, you could easily ruin a gun if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I would not trust Joe Schmo, who I found on Instagram, to know the intricacies of how an M1A rifle works.
The guy who only posts pictures of the guns he Cerakoted, not his shop.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's like all Glocks and AR-15s, which are relatively...
Oh, wow, you did a square!
Yeah, well, it's like those guns are very simple. I might trust him to do that, but I would never send off a gun that I really care about to a stranger and have him glue shit on it, you know? Yeah. Rattlecan, do it in your own backyard, and even if you fuck it up and you get paint somewhere that doesn't belong... Baby, just put some nail polish remover on there and you're good to go.
This same thing also applies to people who buy guns that are not already red dot milled.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you're going to buy a gun that's not already milled, like, you buy it and it has optics ready, you're good to go.
Yeah.
But if it's not optics ready, don't, like, send it to somebody to make optics ready. There might be a reason... You can't put an optic on it. You can. It's just gonna, like, you could literally buy a gun that's optic ready for the price you're gonna pay to get a gun made optic ready and buy that optic.
Yeah, and there's just...
And there are cool guns, but let's leave it to the YouTubers to spend their money to watch them before we decide to spend a lot.
I do think that if you're an average person, you're a gun owner, but you don't really care about, like, the fancy stuff, it's not very necessary. Buy an optics-ready gun. However, if you really like guns, you own a lot of them, and you want to go to the next step of quality, you can get your gun milled to fit a red dot that you want on there. For example, I have my carry gun. Yeah. I have a Trigicon red dot sight on it, which is a very expensive, fancy red dot.
But it was optics-ready.
It was optics-ready, but... They're not all like that. Like, you can get, like, let's say you bought a 365 in a private sale and it was not an optics ready variant.
Yeah.
You would then have to take it to someone to mill it for you. And I would say, hey, if you can save money in a private sale and get a good gun, then you should go and send it off to somebody to mill it out.
I feel like no matter what, to send it to get milled and then also buy the optics going to cost about the price of just buying another gun that's optics ready.
That's true, but also, I mean, some of those optics ready guns, like, maybe
it's only if you have an old gun that was never optics ready when it came out and it was cool,
which is, that's true too. I just think it's a good option to have. I mean, I can just think of a lot of situations in which people, I mean, sometimes people just end up with stuff, you know.
Yeah, like, if you do end up with something, you better fucking put a fucking goddamn Trigicon on it.
Put, yeah,
grandpa's World War II. Don't do that.
We talked about this in our very first podcast episode, but if you do not have an optic on your gun, you are behind.
Yeah, they're so good.
You can make iron sights work on handguns. Rifles, you need an optic. Like, you need an optic on a rifle. On a handgun, you can make the iron sights work, but you are still behind. You're just going to be slower, and you're going to have to train harder to be on par with people who have optics on their guns.
Yeah.
So I think if you have an optic and you have a gun that you can't mount it on, get it milled to fit. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
But, okay, I want to talk about that Diddy stuff.
Oh, yeah, so we got Diddy.
Yeah, let's talk about Diddy.
He's fucked.
You
but
know, yeah.
He did all this sex stuff, and it's going to be super bad. He's going to go to jail.
Yeah.
Nothing will ever compare to his gun. Like, so you can just have sex parties and all this stuff. You get rid of one serial number, you're going to go to jail way longer. So this is why you should take gun shit serious.
So I actually want to talk about this a little bit, because I don't know much about the Diddy stuff, but I'm very familiar with gun laws.
He's fucked. He had three ARs with... deface serial numbers.
Yeah, so I mean, immediately right there.
In his name, apparently.
That's three counts of NFA violations.
Yeah, he's got like 40 years of that.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's literally, if you deface the serial numbers on three rifles that you own, that is seriously.
And all his sex, all his sex stuff, so far that I've seen. Like, some of it's pretty bad, like the underage girl, so he'll get some time for that. But most of the other stuff, you can pay a lawyer and just be like, that's just sex. Like, it was in my house. Sex is sex.
Well, the other thing...
And they always, let you off on sex stuff because all those judges are probably freaks, too.
Well, the other thing about, like, sexual crimes is that there's... statute of limitations. Mm-hmm. Like, they expire super quickly. I don't want to get too far into this topic.
Not, but
like,
on guns.
On guns, there is basically no statute of limitations. Like, it on the federal crimes, no way.
This is also why they get every rapper, by the way.
Is with gun violations.
Every rapper is, like, so when they get famous, they're young and all this stuff, but they've already got crime cases where, like, they're not allowed to own a gun. Then they get rich and famous, so all their friends that hang out with them have guns, and they leave their guns at their house. And then, like, all these people say, like, they look them up, like, the rappers and stuff, and build a whole case to go get them, you know?
Yeah.
Basically, if you have a rapper who has not the ability to have a gun, and then you go raid them, like, when they're 21, you're probably going to get a case. Well, they always have guns in their house.
They do, and I also want to say that not only is there a lot of misinformation about gun laws, they're intentionally written to be confusing.
Yeah, so that they can get you.
Yeah, I was going to say, the feds want you to break these laws so they can convict you of stuff. And a lot of these gun laws were written not necessarily because guns are the problem.
Yeah.
And, like, they want to catch people with illegal guns, but it's because they couldn't convict people of other stuff. Like, let's say, like, gang members, or I use the example of, like, Al Capone. Like, they never arrested Al Capone, or convicted him, rather, of, like, any gang-related stuff. Yeah. They got him for tax evasion.
Yeah, and then he died of syphilis.
In prison, yeah.
But, you know Lil Wayne?
Yeah.
Lil Wayne had a gun charge, kind of like, how did he has a gun charge?
Yeah.
And then, like, when Trump did his last thing, whenever he got out and, like, freed a whole bunch of people,
yeah,
he dropped the gun charge on
Lil Wayne. I did hear about that. Yeah.
I think Lil Wayne might actually have still been in jail if Trump didn't do that.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Which, by the way, it's not like I know any of these people personally, but I really feel like gun charges, like, first of all, defacing a serial number, if that's going to be a crime, don't make that, like, 10 years in prison. If you're defacing a serial number because you killed somebody with that gun, you don't want to get caught, charge that person with murder and put him away for murder. But
is
just
it,
like,
10 years?
Yes.
Dude, so he got 30 years right there.
It's insane.
No matter what.
I think that there should be, like, different penalties for gun crimes, because, like, a guy like me, like, I don't know. I would never, like, do anything bad with my guns or whatever. But, like, let's say I accidentally scratch a serial number off somehow.
Like, you get it Cerakoted by a guy in a garage.
I was going to say, if I get it Cerakoted by a guy in a garage, you should not then look at that and be like, well, yeah, Sean, who never did anything wrong, never hurt anybody, 10 years in prison. I'm sensitive, dude. I would not do well in prison. I'm too pretty. I wouldn't make it.
Dude, you're too pretty.
I am too pretty for prison.
If Diddy was in there, dude, after his gun charges, he will be there, by the way.
He would have a freak off.
He's going to freak off on you. There's no baby lube, by the way.
Ew.
There's no lube in there. You'd be fucked.
So there was, like, a serial killer who did a bunch of sexual stuff to his victims or whatever, and he was more well known for, like, his sexual stuff. Like, he had, like, 100 counts of, like, different sexual misconduct and all these crimes.
Yeah.
But by the time they caught him, it was, like, 30 years later, and the statute of limitations had all expired. So the only thing they could convicted him of was, like, 4 murders he committed, which don't have any statute. But he still ended up getting life in prison. But, like, think of all those hundreds of people
they raped.
Yeah.
So you got, like, triple life in prison.
Well, my point is, if he didn't kill anyone, he would have just been let free.
If in the future they make it so that they can make you live longer, so that they can make you serve a 300-year prison sentence.
Oh, my God.
Man, that'd be sick.
That would be crazy.
That'd be good.
That's, like, some sci-fi stuff.
People might think of what they're doing.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
They put your brain in a jar.
Maybe I'll stop not scanning everything at Walmart. They could put me away for 20 years after I'm dead.
Also, I want to talk about something. There are states, because we're on the topic of gun laws.
Yeah.
There are states in which you can legally own certain drugs, like weed.
Swag.
You can have marijuana and use it recreationally in certain states.
Scary. I hope I never live in a state like that.
Yeah, me too. That's horrible.
Yeah.
Imagine living around that. But anyway, in these states, some of them, you can also own, like, Colorado. Let's use that as an example. Colorado, you can recreationally own marijuana and use it in your own home. You can also own rifles, like AR-15s, in Colorado legally.
Yeah.
However, there's a contradiction there, because at a federal level, you cannot – it requires you to lie on your background check.
Yeah. Have you ever gotten in trouble for smoking weed or smoked weed?
Have you ever have you ever illegally used marijuana, which is federally still a crime?
I used to illegally use it, but technically –
So if you
federally it is a crime.
Yeah. So if you've ever smoked weed and then bought a gun, even if you're a good guy, you never done anything wrong.
I love the 2-party system.
How it's like they'll fuck you in one way or another.
By the way, this is illegal if we want it to be.
Yeah. If they really want it to be, they'll get you for something. So my point of bringing that up is that, like, the laws are intentionally made to entrap you, and they're intentionally made to be confusing. So just be aware of that stuff when you have a gun. Try to research your laws a little bit. And I think we should have like a more in-depth topic on that one day about like gun laws and how to follow them.
Yeah.
But the Diddy stuff is crazy because that is what he's going to get in trouble for. Out of all this crazy stuff he did, unless he killed somebody, the biggest thing is going to be gun crimes.
Yeah.
Because that's such a huge deal federally. You can get put away for like 10 to 25 years for a single like gun crime.
And that's what I said. Well, he's going to die. Well, this will be our first podcast prediction. Diddy might die before the case happens.
That's case saying that. I don't know nothing about nobody.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah.
Probably do.
This podcast is brought to you by Punctures. Is your girl trying to leave? She pays half the mortgage? Try Punctures. America's first pre-stabbed condoms. Your girl thinks she's safe when you guys are having sex? The only thing that's safe is your future together. After you impregnate her, head on over to punctured.com with the code we need to talk for 10% off your first order. You'll thank us.
All right, guys, we're back from our commercial break.
Our first sponsor, by the way. We got our first sponsor. It's kind of a big deal for us.
I hope it's not anything like traumatic or
bad. They sent me some emails. I don't really understand their product, but they paid us a decent amount, so I think it's cool.
Yeah, here it saves relationships. I don't know.
Something like that.
But one thing that's definitely for sure is before we get back into this podcast, we need to thank some of our fans. And one of our fans just so happens to be my old roommate, Eustace. Probably my best roommate in the Marines. He's our first correction on the pod.
Our first write-in.
Yeah, he wrote in that we're fucking dumbasses. And MOS is not methods of service.
Which is that I'll own that one. I said that. That was stupid.
Yeah.
That's what I
thought. I believed it.
I mean, you know? It's reasonable enough, but I don't know. I guess I heard that in a dream somewhere.
You
I thought it was real.
Make mistakes so that you can get pissed the fuck.
Everyone's
off.
Like, this guy is smart. He knows about guns. Yeah. Turns out, I'm a fucking idiot.
What was it actually?
It's military occupational specialty. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. So Eustace won that one. Yeah. He's probably my best roommate, so we'll take that hit.
Yeah. Thank you, Eustace. I haven't met you, but thanks for correcting my dumb ass.
Eustace might be one of the first podcast guests, also.
Oh yeah, we get him.
He did some cool shit.
Yeah, yeah. He knows what MOS stands for, so he's smarter than us.
He's clearly paid attention in school.
A lot of people have been writing in and talking to us, some corrections like that, and then a lot of people just giving good feedback. So thanks, everybody, for listening.
Yeah. And then we're going to have a rack of the week. This gun right here.
Oh, yeah.
So first rack of the week was something real special.
Yeah.
This is the opposite of special.
Well, I'll say that the MSRP of our first rifle was about $4,300.
Yeah.
The MSRP of this gun
is...
This is like a $350 rifle.
Yeah, and someone's been shooting it.
Somebody has been shooting it. It is sandy, is how I would describe it.
Yeah, it looks like it went to Afghanistan, but it did not.
It didn't come home the same.
It's only been around where we live. It's just disgusting.
This gun shakes on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
It's got problems.
If you slowly try to send it home, it doesn't go home and you have to...
The bolt doesn't go all the way into battery. You got to smack it up a little bit.
Smack it. All right. Here we go.
All right, everybody, listen up. Oh, that's horrible.
All right, now do it slow so I can hear how bad it is.
Really slow. Listen up, everybody.
Ooh. Ooh. You hear that? That's not the good stuff. You need to clean your guns.
The bolt went home, actually.
Yeah, you kind of like forced it home.
I'll do it a little bit slower.
This one's pretty easy to guess what it is because we're talking about it this way. God. And it also has one of the funniest things ever invented on a rifle.
There's a big logo on the side of it.
No, this right here.
Oh, the forward assist. Yeah.
Oh, now everybody knows what gun it is.
Yeah. One more hint before it's got a handguard on it that's made of plastic, and it is wobbly as fuck.
Yeah.
It is not securely on the gun.
So this gun also rhymes with Layar 15.
This is is this the cheapest AR-15 you can buy? It might be.
It's an MMP-15.
It's an MMP-15, so...
And it is, like...
Shitty.
I don't know if it's, like, just came that shitty or if he shot it a lot, but this is a buddy of ours, and it's kind of over here for a reason. But let me tell you, whenever we had it, I was all excited because my buddy said he was going to put his guns over here, and then he put them over here, and I was very disappointed in what was left.
This has the same appeal as, like, when you go to a circus and you see all the freaks in there, and you're just, like, laughing at them. This is the same appeal. This gun is, like, horrible to look at, and it's like a train wreck. I just can't look away from it.
Same appeal as whenever you're about to go to a restaurant and you order something, and they just do not give you enough fries.
That would make me sad.
There's about 15 fries on your plate right now, and you just paid $40 for your burger.
I want to see if the bolt catch is good. I know we're getting off topic because it's just a rack of the week.
Yeah.
Okay, so, oh my God, hear that? All right, so the bolt did lock. Let's see how easy the bolt catch is to depress. Ew.
Oh,
that sounds rough.
Yeah.
This does not feel good. Maybe the worst trigger on an AR-15 I've ever felt.
Yeah.
I'll stop shitting on it. Anyway, that's a Smith & Wesson M&P-15, everybody.
A little freebie.
Do not spend less than $500 on an AR-15.
Goddamn.
It's so bad.
And then our last topic of this pod is probably going to be a great movie.
Oh, sorry, Case, to interrupt you. We get requests. People are like, we love hearing you guys talk, but you guys got to talk about some non-gun stuff. And I thought a good compromise would be, why don't we talk about, like, gun movies every once in a while?
Oh, yeah.
So, Case, you want to talk about a certain movie.
My autistic memory of every movie. What If the Gun is a movie no one's ever seen, and whenever you hear the title, you're like, oh, it's just a shoot-em-up movie? Guess what? It is. You idiots. We tricked you.
They got our
asses. You got a girlfriend, and you want to watch a movie? Be like, we should watch Way of the Gun. And she'll be like, okay. And you'll be like, it's not a shoot-em-up movie. 10 minutes in, you've tricked her.
They're shooting stuff in this movie.
So, there's about 6 excellent scenes in the movie that no one ever, like, has followed or anything in any other shooting movies. The first one is the chase scene.
Which is?
Well, okay, so they do, well, they do do moving, move, move, and move. So, they have a point where they have 2 guys, and they're doing a standoff, and then they realize they're fucked, so they have to run away. So they hold their gun on one person, and then the other person moves. And once he runs back, the other guy aims, so then the other guy can move. Because no matter what, there will never be a point break in a time whenever you can shoot them.
So communication during a gunfight where whenever you move, you tell your partner or your team that, hey, I'm moving this way or I'm moving away. And at no point is someone not pointing a gun at the thing you want.
So the other people cannot engage.
You're covering for your buddy. In this situation, it's 2 guys, so there's only 1 person moving at a time. Mm-hmm. And someone always has a gun pointed at the direction they want to point it at.
Yeah, and they use it to escape, which is pretty nice.
Yeah, pretty realistic, too.
Yeah. And then they have the best chase scene ever. Every chase scene in a movie is, like, fast. The cars are fucking going everywhere and all this. This is not that. They are in a car, and they're getting chased by a group of mercenaries, 2 guys who are chasing them because they have a hostage. And basically, you can't shoot the car that has the hostage you're trying to save in it. So they kind of know that. So they take them down an alley, and they do this thing where they put the car in neutral, they put the car in neutral and it keeps going forward, and they jump out of the car. So the other guys jump out of the car, and then the car keeps going forward. But the other guys put it in park, and they run ahead, and whenever their car is, like, a little bit ahead, they jump in it while shooting and drive off, so they now have a lead. So you're like, okay, so now the bad guys have learned, hey, they put it in neutral and let it coast down the hill so they can get away. So the next time they get to another alley, they, like, open the doors, but they don't get out, and they're, like, putting their foot on the ground like they're gonna get out, and they don't. And then they hit a doorway to, like, something, and one of them jumps out, and the other one stays in, and then they cover fire. And then, so that's the second chase scene, and it's all slow. It's really slow, and it's a great shootout. And if you've never seen it, you should go watch it. And then the third time, they do that same kind of routine wherever they get a little bit ahead, and they speed around a corner, and the guys don't want to lose them, so they chase them down. And whenever they get to the corner where they turned, they didn't speed around the corner. They stopped right there, and they back into them at, like, 25 miles per hour and total their car. And then they, like, point the gun at them, and they're like, if you follow us, we'll fucking kill you. Great scene. So creative.
One of the things I really like about this movie is, like, what is it, like, early 2000s, like 2002 or 3 or something like that?
I think it was 1997.
97? Wow, yeah. Even earlier than I thought. So, like, I've only recently seen movies have the whole, like, communication during a gunfight thing where they'll be like, moving, and then they'll, like, run to a different cover. That's, like, a new thing I've seen in movies, but the military's been doing that forever.
So this happened in 1997. That's why the movie's so good.
They're ahead of the curve is what I'm saying. Like, they really did their research.
There's another scene. So, as you know, they've taken the hostage. Now, they do so much crazy stuff. They take the hostage in America. They cross the border and go to Mexico, and they're in a Mexican hotel. And there's all these people trying to come get them and all this stuff. And there's a scene where they leave the hostage in the Mexican hotel. And you're like, they just drive away. And the mercenaries who were after them are like, oh, they gave up. Like, they clearly knew they were in over their head. So they go to get the hostage. And they kick in the door and they grab the girl who's a hostage. And they're going to take her back. And all suddenly they start getting sniped at. They didn't leave. They drove away and drove up to the top of this hill where they have a vantage point over the hotel. That's why they picked the hotel. And then they, like, have a great shootout wherever they have the clear vantage point and, like, really tear him up, you know? And it's like, no other movie does that. Wherever you're like, what are these idiots doing? Just leaving? No, they weren't leaving. They had a great plan from the start. It's so good.
It's like a properly planned ambush, which you don't often see in movies.
Yeah, and then, like, basically their downfall of the whole movie is that there's only two of them versus, like, a whole group that was trying to get this hostage back that had more money and more time and more. And they end with a final shootout in a whorehouse. And other stuff is happening in the scene, but Benicio del Toro, who's the main character, well, Ryan Felipe is the other character. Who's the main character? There's two main characters. He has, isn't it an FAL?
I believe it's a Galil.
Galil. Yeah. Never mind, it's not FAL. It's a Galil. They start taking fire inside a room in the whorehouse, and instead of like, oh, let's clear these corners and all this stuff, he just does a mad whip and sends 30 rounds through the wall at about the height of a human. So good.
Which is, again, way more realistic than like this.
Great ideal.
Yeah.
Yeah. He probably just killed a couple people, but he's also a criminal.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're not concerned about, like, they're already breaking
and
the law.
The holes and how loud the Galil sounds realistic. Is so realistic. They might have actually just killed people when they shot this.
There's a few movies where
the holes
are
massive, like a Galil would be.
Yes.
Yeah.
A giant.
It's so good.
Yeah. Great. Great movie. I agree. Case showed me this movie like a few years ago. And I think that in terms of like its portrayal of guns and gunfighting, it's top five.
Yeah, it's definitely top five.
Of just like any
the
movie.
The only thing that tore it down was that it was older, so it didn't have cool stuff like. Their main pistols are the freaking 1911s the whole time.
They have a lot of 1911s. I think one guy's like a Browning high power.
They have three different one-handed reloads like in the movie, each of them. So that's six one-handed reloads with 1911s because of scenarios they're in. Like one of them's arm gets shot. The other one's like crawling on the ground. He puts his gun between his knees and reload. Like whoever the people working on this movie were, they knew what the fuck they were talking about.
Yeah, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many scenes that I really like. The blood in the movie is actually very realistic, which, like, when someone gets shot, the way that the blood kind of just, like, pours out of them, I'm like, that's real, you know?
Yeah.
I really like it. Case showed me that movie a long time ago.
It's just kind of long.
I think one of the big problems of the movie has nothing to do with the gunfighting. It's that, like, it is a long movie, and then the actual plot, like, the whole, oh, these guys are kidnapping this woman who's important because she's married to this guy, and there's, like, a weird love triangle thing.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it's so boring in comparison to the action.
Benicio del Toro and Ryan Felipe, every scene they're in, wherever they're together, they're, like, such better actors than everybody else.
Yeah, all the side guys are not great actors.
Yeah, all the side guys suck.
But the main dudes are fine.
They introduce one guy who's like the weird mercenary guy, and they need help to go get Ryan Felipe and Benicio. So they're calling some random mercenary guy who's about to retire. And what he's doing is he's like sitting in his RV, and he put like six revolvers in a fucking bag, and he's shaking them up, and he's about to pull them out to like kill himself with Russian roulette. And then he picks up the phone, and he's like, oh, what's going on? And they're like, we need you to do one more job. And he's like, okay, I'll do it. And he's like, okay, what was that introduction scene, you know? He fucking was gonna kill himself, but then he fucking had to do the It's stupid. And then the way the movie starts, if you guys actually go watch this movie, which I've recommended it to you, so you'll go watch it or whatever if you want, like the first 10 minutes, you'll be hooked. And then, because we're all talking about guns and all this stuff. First 10 minutes, nothing about guns. Crazy. Funniest shit ever.
It is just good.
That's
there's good dialogue.
That's a nightclub scene whenever, you know, gets punched in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
there's
so good.
There's good dialogue in the movie. When they're at the hotel, do you remember what sniper rifle they're using?
It was a Galil with a scope
with
on it.
With a scope on it? Okay.
Which was very cool because it came back. It was like they had a Galil, but they put the scope on it.
Very
and then whenever
cool.
they went to the whorehouse.
Yeah.
But it was shooting it like one shot. You know, it's very nice.
Semi-automatic, right.
If they had a sniper, it wouldn't have made sense whenever they already had the Galil too. So it's a great little.
Just to add to like the realism.
It wasn't that far, but the fact that they like drove like 150 yards away to go up on the hill, you know, very cool.
I do want to give another shout out real quick because what you're talking about this movie is reminding me a guy named Kevin Owens who is on.
Yeah.
He's also on YouTube. He's like a retired military guy. He has great informational videos. Yeah. He teaches classes.
Very humble.
He's very humble. I really like him. One of the things he did, he was a private contractor in Mogadishu, and this was right after the events of like Black Hawk Down.
Yeah.
If you guys are familiar with that. But anyway, he was doing some private work in this country, and it was super dangerous. And he was running around that country with an MP5, and he told a story about how he was taking fire from like hundreds of yards away, and he was attempting to return fire with this MP5.
So he's fucked.
So he was fucked. And he talked about it. He's like, I immediately threw that MP5 in a corner, picked up a Galil, and that's what I used for the rest of my time there.
Hell yeah.
Because the Galil is a weapon that is... it's good for close range and then also long range. It's an intermediate rifle that can fit a lot of different roles. It's an Israeli-designed weapon that is basically a hybrid of an AR-15 and an AK-47.
And it's 308, right?
They make 308 ones and they make 5.56 ones.
The one in the movie is 308.
I believe it was. I think the most common variant is 5.56.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the one in the movie was 308, which...
I wonder what Kevin Owens did. 5.56 probably.
Yeah, it was five. I'm pretty sure.
Mogadishu.
Yeah, Mogadishu, which is
Black Hawk Down. By the way, guys, gonna get its whole episode.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a separate. Yeah, we both love
Black
that movie.
Hawk Down. No, I can talk about Black Hawk Down for 7 hours.
Black Hawk Down is the porn parody that I was in.
Yeah,
I was the cuckold in the corner.
Yeah, I remember.
Oh wait, you were the black guy in that, right?
I'm always the black guy.
Yeah, Case is always the black guy in these cuckold movies.
Whenever I watch porn, it's only it's only blacked, and I imagine I'm the black guy, and I'm like, these white people suck. I'm gonna fuck their wife. It's amazing.
Well, I mean, if you're, there's gonna be a self insert in any story, you got to find what fits you best, you know.
I'm the hero.
I want to talk about Way of the Gun like slightly more. I don't want to spoil the ending too much, but there is one scene.
The last shootout's probably the greatest shootout ever, and like we can't even talk about it because like, are you talking about the fountain scene?
I was going to talk about the fountain scene. I love that.
They get injured a lot in the movie. And, like, there's scenes where it's just, like, you know they're not the good guys. There's a part where they're, like, pissing on the road. And they're, like, here's things you can do to make money if you're a bad person. They're, like, you can donate blood, $200. A pint of semen, that's $1,000. And then they're, like, you can do all these crimes and make this much money. So, you know, they're bad guys the whole time. So, whenever they're getting hurt and stuff. So, they kind of, like, treat them like shit, too, the whole movie.
Yeah.
And the last shootout... they just get fucked up. Like, it's not a hero's end.
And they get... The injuries they sustain are, I would say, pretty realistic with, like, how they're still fighting, but it's clearly affecting them. And there's one scene in particular, the fountain scene, in which a character... they're in, like, this abandoned building, right? Yeah. And there's, like, a big fountain in front of it that's empty, right?
So he jumps in there for cover.
He jumps in there for cover, and obviously, like, he's in the middle of a gunfight, so he doesn't, like, look where he's going.
And it's Mexico.
It's Mexico. So he dives into this fountain, and then you hear this, like, you don't see him land in the fountain, and you hear him scream in the most realistic, like, ugh, like, oh, it sounds horrible.
And there's no water in the fountain.
There's no water. It zooms in on the fountain. He just dove into a big bowl of broken glass.
Yeah, people just been smashing beer bottles in there when they finish him.
And he's got the biggest, nastiest shard of broken...
half a beer bottle.
Yeah, half a beer bottle, like, in his, like, arm.
So he slowly pulls it out.
Ugh,
and
it's
then he keeps fighting.
Because you have to. You're in the middle of a gunfight.
Yeah, but after he screams and he pulls the big beer bottle out, the other guy goes, "Are you still here?" And he goes, "I'm with you."
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome movie.
And they're just like doing a final shootout, and you know, it might go some way, it might go some other way.
It's so hard to talk about a movie like this without like talking about other movies, but I want to save stuff for future podcasts. Because there's other movies that I've seen, and I think I've shown you some of them, but like they're more like I've seen these movies like 6 or 7 times. You've maybe only seen them once, and I could just talk about it all day. Way of the Gun, how many times have you seen it?
Like 7 times.
Yeah.
So I got 2 favorite quotes from it. One of them is, so they're hiding in Mexico, and now they brought in the professionals because the mercenaries fucked up. So they send bagmen. Bagmen are who, if you have a hostage, a bagman is like, he's the guy who brings you the bag of money and all this stuff. And so you're like, oh shit, the bagmen are here. And the guys go, oh, they're just sending a bagman. Like, who gives a fuck? And she's like, a bagman, that means you guys are going to get what you want. And they mean, no, that means we're fucked. And they're like, what do you mean? And they're like, the thing about bagmen is, you can't trust them. No matter what, they say they're going to bring you the money, but they're just there to fucking kill you. And she goes, well, how do you know that? And he goes, I used to be one. So it's like, everything that you could be as a criminal, they've already done it. And then, the bagman shows up and he talks to, so that was Ryan Felipe who said that one, which is kind of badass, not that badass. The bagman shows up and he talks to Benicio Del Toro. First thing Benicio Del Toro does, by the way, gets a jump on the bagman. So he's already in the advantage. And he goes, "Who are you?" And the bagman goes, "I'm the guy who shows up in the middle of the night and shoots you in the head with a pillow over your head." And he's like, that's why you need to be serious about this and worry about this. And he goes, "Yeah, I know. I used to be one." So they're both just like, "Yeah, I used to fucking kill people." Yeah. Like, same thing. They're just bad people. Like, they're not scaring them. They know there's going to be a murder.
They're immediately familiar with each other. I do think that's like, even if you don't like guns, if you like action movies, it's really good. Yeah. You know? And if like dialogue, it's got like almost like Tarantino-esque dialogue to it.
And then they're both, you know, they both have kidnapped somebody, and the one guy wants to give up on him. And the other guy's like, "Okay, if you want to give up, it's fine." Like, blah, blah, blah. And he's trying to use God against him. He's like, "What do you think God would think of us kidnapping and killing all these people?" And he's like, "I don't know. Why don't you just go get the girl?" So he's going back to get the girl. And the girl has, like, escaped her handcuffs, and she's pointing a shotgun at the door. Last minute, he pulls him out of the way from getting shot by a shotgun. And he's looking him dead in the face after he just saved him and proved to him that, like, everybody's bad, even the hostage they took.
Yeah.
He goes, "You know what I'm going to tell God when I see him?" After he's killed all these people. And he goes, "What?" And he goes, "I was framed." Like, he's going to lie to God.
Yeah.
That's how much of a criminal he is. He's just going to fucking lie his way through life. Even when he dies and goes and meets God, he's still going to lie. Like, they're just scum.
Great line.
Anti-heroes. Perfect movie.
There's, like, a lot of charm to, the, like, the bad guys in a movie like that.
Oh, yeah. It's super cool. He also lied to him and said, like, "I forgot my jacket. That's why you need to go back." And when he pulls him out of the way with a shotgun, his jacket is on the rearview mirror of the van. So he knew he could have got shot, and he just wanted to, like, prove to him, like, "We're still going to go through with this, you fucking idiot."
Yeah.
Like, it's so good.
Great movie. We'll talk about movies more and probably some non-gun topics next week a little bit. There's so much to cover. I want to make...
We do one non-gun topic.
You want to do a non-gun topic? You got something in mind?
My one non-gun topic? Let's not do it.
Nope.
Squibload next week.
Squibload Podcast, everybody. See you next week.
Idiots.
Bye.